back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons. I'm a master certified life coach and an energy healer. I'm joined today with Ruby Raja. Ruby is an author and a writer for Her Nation, an online magazine for women. She's never measured the outcomes of her work until she completed her master's thesis. She soon learned the power of giving information with the intent to impart knowledge to another person so they could find their way. She then created a domestic violence program, Define Yourself, because the participants told her they didn't know their rights or law until she shared the knowledge with them. She'd like to fracture cycles of abuse in families and strengthen them. By doing this, we protect children. Ruby, welcome.
Thank you so much, Amy. Good to be here.
Her Nation is something that I've been a part of, it seems like, for a really long time. I haven't been as close to it lately, but it's cool to see that you have published in the new magazine.
Yeah, so I think I've come into it as it was about to launch. So I got to see the tail end and the beginning of this new magazine and had the privilege of being able to write for it. And I think that the work that Sabrina Victoria is doing is just incredible for women. The group that she's got together, the sharing of information, you feel like you can do it when you listen to all those different women doing what it is they're doing.
I think that's absolutely right. I was in the Her Nation Mastermind a big chunk of 2023, and I wanted to go off and explore and do different things. And what I thought was interesting is that I will always have a group of entrepreneurs, specifically women, surrounding me, reminding me who I am. And also, sometimes I just want to hear my own voice for a little while and not get caught up in what everybody else is doing. So I dip in and out of different groups and forums because the whole goal for me stepping outside of my conformity for the first 40 years was to hear my internal voice for the first time in my entire life. So sometimes when I feel like I'm getting a little bit caught up in what others are doing, I'll be like, okay, let me take a little pause and just go inward for a while. That tends to be what I do. But I think Her Nation is amazing, and I'm glad that brought us together.
Absolutely. Me too.
So I found a lot of synchronicities with you and your work in domestic violence and abuse with women and children specifically. Prior to my work with workplace psychological safety, I had been, and I still am, a domestic violence advocate for my entire life. I grew up in a domestic violence home, and it's something that spurred me. It's not something that defines me, but it is part of my history, of course. And so it's something that always is going to be with me. And I feel similarities with domestic violence and workplace violence. There's a big correlation there too. So I was happy to have a conversation with you today about it.
Yeah. So my experience, I've been working in the field of domestic violence all my life, and I didn't know that because I didn't have those two words when I was younger. As I came back to England in 2005 and I started actually working in the field, that's when everything kind of came together and we realized, oh my gosh, I've been working in domestic violence, because I was working with women voluntarily and privately because they didn't want their business out there. They were sharing all sorts of things that were going on. And I was helping them navigate that journey very safely, sometimes taking baby steps, every once in a while taking something huge. But we were trying not to make ripples at home. So they were, you know, they were married. These were women who had families. Everything was functioning. When I stepped into the world of work, not only was it a bit of a shock for me because I didn't have those two words in my vocabulary, unfortunately. But you're right, the correlation with work is just unbelievable. And it's so difficult to explain to women that you have to step into your space and realize how important you are, which is part of the reason that in my work, I say that I like to fracture. If we can cause a fracture in any of those abusive relationships, what you've done is you've started taking away the power from whoever it is, because it's not always the partner. It could be somebody on the periphery. It could be somebody that you're really close to. And I'm trying to get people to start recognizing, who is the actual abuser and what do I need to do? Who am I trusting? Why am I trusting them? So I think you're very right in the fact that it crosses over. But then what I also learned was, when you try to give the information, you try too much to help people or to help them get out of the situation, you're actually doing them a disservice, because it's not until the person arrives that they can make the decisions to move forward, backwards, sideways, around, whichever direction they want, because they may need to go back a few steps before they go forward.
There was a time when I was in corporate, and this was actually the days before I even realized I was experiencing workplace psychological abuse. I was on the forefront of the Women's Employee Resource Group. And of course, domestic violence happens to men as well. It doesn't discriminate. It's, happens to anyone. But for the Women's Employee Resource Group, I stood up a self-defense class on our corporate campus for those who wanted to, learn a little bit about how they could defend themselves. And I think there's so much assumption around whether it be domestic or workplace violence that it happens to certain types of people. We were finding that in the workplace, there were the highest ranks of officers that were experiencing it, all the way to more junior roles. And there was a specific time where we, meaning the corporate office, had at that location around 1,600 known cases of domestic violence at home that they were asking for some sort of provisioning on site at the corporate headquarters to help protect them from their abuser from a domestic perspective. And that was probably drastically underreported.
Yes.
We went to further realize that domestic violence, there's a strong correlation between that and other types of violence out in communities, mass shootings, things of that nature. So there's just so much information, so much to understand, so many different complexities and layers. I think you and I talked a little bit about, and this is how I feel about workplace psychological safety, and I'll swap back and forth. I know they're very different, but they're also correlated. I care about helping not just the abused, but also the abusers, because again, something has happened. They've learned this. It's a cycle. It's the pattern. What are your thoughts on that piece, specifically when there's, again, so multi-layered complexities around giving any sort of empathy or compassion toward the abuser?
It's interesting that you raise that because I'm actually in support of what you said. First of all, it happens across the board, men and women, obviously far more to women, happens in the workplace. And in terms of the financial side, I think when you have more money, you have more ability to move around. So if you're being abused in this home, you possibly have the ability to go to a friend or another home that you may even have. So you have a lot of different resources, but it's still happening in different ways. In terms of how it comes about and such, and needing empathy for both sides, again, I fully agree because I started off working with women in a formal capacity and they were saying all sorts of things about the abuser, rightly so, because they were the ones who were being harmed. They were the ones who were potentially being beaten or threatened or whatever. So I did probably some of the things that led you to understand the helping the abuser side. I entered the criminal justice system. And as I entered it and I started working with the men, so in this case, it was male to female violence, you can see the lives, you can see the damage that they've had since childhood. And I actually believe even earlier than that, I think it starts sometimes in utero. So I started off in probation, working with older people, doing all this work, but it wasn't going anywhere. The few that wanted to change were changing, but I felt like I was continually going upstream. And there wasn't a lot coming back. So what I decided to do was to work with younger people because I thought I could utilize the same skills, resources, and make a difference in their life early because they were younger. But then when you start working with young people, you have to deal with the families and there's so many other systems that you have to navigate. But in that journey, what I noticed was it doesn't even start there. It starts so much earlier. And it can be broken, but what I don't think is happening. So we have all these programs for men. In England, they had something called the Integrated Domestic Abuse Program, which was an American program, and then they took it into their criminal justice system. It takes you through modules of work and such, but nobody's actually asking the man, what's happening to you? What happened to you? Tell me about you and what I used to do. And I didn't know that I was doing this until I started doing more research on it. I used to ask them, what's happened? What do you want to do? How did this happen? I often found that in early childhood and in the teen years, they'd either lost somebody, something had happened, something had been taken away, the breaking up of a family, usually some kind of loss that never, ever got addressed. And then coupled with that, they probably weren't being nurtured or loved in any meaningful way. And they were going on about their lives the way other people who'd been in the same circumstance were living it, which is you fumble through. And if you get an aggressive person around you, you learn aggression. So I personally believe that we can do a lot more work with men as well. But using my program, Define Yourself, which came from doing my master's thesis, actually. We all need the same things, but we need to be heard and we need to be validated. And if we can validate each person's story, my personal belief is they will find that roadmap to where they're going because they know where they're going. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what their support mechanism is, and I don't know who's on their side and who isn't. So I also agree with you that it's very underreported. It's very underreported.
And there's so much assumption that if we're giving empathy or compassion to the ones causing the harm, that it's a pass. For me specifically, again, this is where more than one thing can be true at once. I am a survivor of domestic violence and I hold strong empathy. I actually know exactly where and why the violence that was put upon me, I know where it comes from. I know the root of it. And again, it doesn't make it right. We're not saying that. We're saying that we can understand it and start to actually break the cycle and the pattern rather than perpetuating it by only on focusing on making them wrong.
Yes.
But again, with those who are, especially those who are hurting and being harmed by, it's okay if you don't understand that and agree with it. It's
Yeah.
okay. I mean, we're at different places, you know?
And I think that's the complexity that is so difficult to explain because if you've been harmed by that, you're wanting a level of being listened to, but also a level of revenge.
Justice. Yeah.
Yeah, justice. And my belief, having been in the justice system, even if you do get the right justice, so you get the tick mark from the judge who says, no, he was wrong, you've still got to heal from it. And that healing isn't going to come from anywhere but you. And I say this to people all the time. I can give you all the tools that I have, and goodness knows I have quite a few of them, but nothing will matter until you take that first step. And the minute you start taking that first step, the person that's hurt you goes into the background and they go further and further into the background until you want to bring them forward and think, oh, they did this. They may have done it because of that. And you don't even have to go there. You need
Yeah.
to get yourself free.
You go inward first. And the
Yeah.
same, not that we do the exact same things, but like with my coaching, it's not about what anyone else's energy around you is doing. It's about how you're preserving, not just preserving, but first and foremost, understanding your own energy,
Yes.
understanding that regardless of what anything happens outside you, understanding our own energy first to figure out, okay, what about this lived experience of mine? Still hurts. And that's where we can start to find the energy that wants to be paid attention to.
Yeah, I feel you're possibly talking more about the validation of the self and learning how to validate yourself within all of that. Because my work now, instead of trying to help people to understand that the abuse that is done is often done deliberately, the whole, the narcissism, the coercive control and such, but it's to learn that you're better than that and you can move beyond that because you have all of that within you. So instead of staying in, oh, he did, oh, but he said, and I can't because he said, I'm trying to get them to the who am I? Because if you ask anyone, who are you? What would you like to do? What makes you happy? I don't think I can think of one person that I've worked with that has said to me, Ruby, I want to do this, or I would have liked to have done that. It's taken a good two or three sessions to find out, oh, I'd like to learn how to drive. Or I wanted to do that job over there, but I didn't think I could because of, all these responsibilities.
That's
That.
exactly right. It's like, who are you at your, I call it like the soul plane, or like, who are you at the soul level? Because that is always tried and true. But again, when especially you've had a traumatic experience happen, that gets clouded because what's happening outward takes such a big toll mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. So to your point, that's where having someone you trust, whether it be Ruby, me, someone else walking alongside you as an ally to help extract that, our egos are going to put us back into a place that feels safe or familiar, which is likely not this place of finding out who you are at the core, because it's scary and it's a lot of work.
And I think that's a critical part of this discourse that you do have to do a lot of work, but ultimately that work bears so much fruit.
Yes.
And that's what happened with the book that I've written, which isn't quite out there yet. The three women that were my participants, they'd already left their partners, but they were in such a state of chaos and all the different people telling them all sorts of different things, which were positive, but not conducive to domestic violence. Because if you don't understand domestic violence and somebody say, no, you know, you're right to feel that, but he's a really lovely guy. So that's giving you mixed messages. He is a really lovely guy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be feeling all these complex feelings that you can't make sense of. So what happened in that journey with these three participants was, as I helped them clarify, they all had wonderful mothers, really good support. But the people around them didn't understand domestic violence. If you don't understand domestic violence for the partnership, so we're looking at the man and the woman here, how are you going to help women understand what's happening to their children? Because that's the next dimension. It's happening to you, but that's what your children are feeding off of. And if you're lucky, you might have one child that's resilient who's looking at you and going, yeah, that's mum and dad's problem. The other three are going to struggle to figure out how they work in humanity, society, and in life, a strong likelihood of substance misuse going one way or the other. So, are you going to criminal justice or are you going to mental health? Because they're your main feeder systems that if you don't get caught at the right time and you end up being medicated, you're not going to have the capacity to make those decisions anyway.
Yeah. It's helping everybody figure out what do you want to do? How do we break this pattern or cycle? If you want to, again, you're going to have to want to break the pattern. If not, it's just going to keep going. So.
And that's the most important point. Do you want to break the cycle? Or are you going to be one of these people who talks about it, goes round and round and round and round, and each time you speak to them, they've added another layer to it because something else happened? Or are you going to trust yourself, know you're worth it, and take that leap of faith to grow? Because you can
Yeah.
stay in that relationship and you can slowly, slowly start building that courage to get out of it. One of the best things that somebody said to me, oh my gosh, it's been over 20 years. She said, Ruby, when I tell people anything about domestic violence, I tell them to plan. Don't just get up and go. And statistically, the people that get up and go often come back because they've not thought about all the complexities around getting away safely, documentation, financial situations. Where are you going to go? How are you going to protect your children? Who are you going to be in touch with? And like you said, there's so many layers that when you add cultures into it, those dynamics are so huge. And then the financial status, are you wealthy? Are you not wealthy? If you're wealthy, are you really going to do this and put your partner at risk because it will be because of you? No, it won't. And trying to explain that to the women that whatever's happening is not all your fault.
Yeah.
He has a big responsibility in this. And until you start pushing it into the right space, you won't give yourself enough breathing room to make the decisions you need to.
Yeah, it all depends on what you want to do. That one last straw moment. And some will never have it, some will have it. And we do have many more resources today than we used to. And again, it all gets to be true. So anyway, we could talk about this all day. Even like before that, I would say the way that we're raising young people, I won't just say women, young girls, the way that we're raising young people to empower them to break the lineage cycles, parents have a really big role in that too. Just making sure that the young people coming up today know how to, I wouldn't say just even treat each other. How do you treat yourself? What does that look like? When you uphold your boundaries, your self-respect, your self-love, self-acceptance, as the number one priority, seriously, the number one priority. I hope to look to a future where there's not domestic violence, workplace violence.
And this message that you said needs to be reiterated, that if our young people start learning to respect themselves, love themselves, and put those boundaries in place, you can't invade this space. It's mine. I'm this person. If you want access to me, where are we going? What is this about? Is this like a, we're getting to know each other today and we'll hang out tomorrow and the next week and then next week you're on to somebody else? Or is this going somewhere? And if it's going somewhere, what does that mean for you? Because especially if you're starting your relationships in your teens, you've got a few years before you're going to be working and being able to do what you need to. But yes, self-respect, self-love, self-care. Who am I? Always check with yourself at the end of the day. Who am I? What do I want? Where do I want to go? And as we put those little steps in place, you're going to find one thing that works for you. You know, I want to do this job, so I'm going to work toward these educations and this type of life. It really does boil down to getting the right messages and giving yourself the right signaling and permission.
Yeah, the permission is key because
Yeah.
we're not sitting here saying that it is a person's fault that they're staying put in a violent situation, we're saying that the next best action resides in you only. It's not your fault that you are in that place. It's genuinely, what do you feel that you want as a next best step for you?
Yeah.
And I had a client recently. She has some energy around her that does not serve her. And I said, how do we get to the point where you say, my energy is expensive and not everyone can afford it?
Yeah.
So can everyone afford my energy? And if the answer is not a hell yes, then it's a hell no.
Yeah.
So
I completely agree.
Ruby, what moves are you excited to be making right now besides your book that's coming out? What's up?
So I'm now trying to make my two programs available to people. So Define Yourself, which is the domestic violence program, which the people that have actually attended have not just loved, a few of them have done it twice, but we don't cover the same things both times. We work on what we've done previously so that they can delve deeper and empower themselves more. And there's another program that I deliver, which is a trauma program, because we won't go into this now, but I was attacked and I did this program, found it so useful that I got myself certified and I'm now a facilitator. And I find the two of them together, you get so much information, knowledge and resource for you to pick and choose what you need to for your journey. So I'm trying to put those two things out. And one thing that has been brought to my attention that I'm thinking about and working on more strategically is providing specific services, which would be my domestic violence services, for men, so that they can get listened to and they can go on that journey. And if they're abusers, not to abuse, if they're victims, to heal. So I'm looking at that right now because it's been brought to me a couple of times and it's kind of triggered my mind. You know, I need to think about this, because once it's kind of okay, somebody says something, but when it's happened twice very quickly, you kind of go, okay, there's something being sent to me that I need to receive and do something with.
Yeah. Universe, guides,
yes.
God, spirit, source. Yes. Who's talking to me? What's going on? So would you say, Ruby, the two ways for someone to get a hold of you would be if they are experiencing domestic violence, but would it be for any trauma? Would you say?
Yes, absolutely. So whether you've seen an accident, been in an accident, lost somebody, absolutely anything that's making you feel a little bit unbalanced, unsure, particularly the people who are saying things like, I can't say this to somebody because they're going to think I'm going crazy. Because that craziness is your body talking to you. You've got to learn to listen, how to manage it. Otherwise, you're going to end up on drugs that just take you down and make you not have feelings one way or the other. So yes, it is very scary. I think people need to recognize it's scary, but you can do it.
Yes.
That's the critical part. Not only can you do it, I'm right here by your side, enabling you to make the decisions you need to.
Right. We create a container where you can go into the fantastical. You know, you
yes.
could say, I want to buy a small island and build a hut and just live off the land. Cool. Now, I say scary because if you were to set out to do that today, that might be really scary, you know, to give up everything that looks familiar to you. So we build a bridge to that, to start gaining your lived experience knowledge on the how, the when, and the what is none of our business. What we do is we align our energies to say, I'm receiving in divine unfolding what will happen next. But this is what I hold true about myself. You align your energies first to
yes.
say, this is what I deserve. And then the universe is like, oh, okay. Okay. I see you. And then
yeah.
we start walking to it, you know?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
I want to go to this post that you made on LinkedIn recently that really still grabbed me. And I haven't been as close to domestic violence data in a little bit, but you wrote a week ago, did you know 1 in 4 women experience domestic violence in their lifetime? Domestic violence can be physical, emotional, sexual, or psychological. I would add financial as well, right?
Financial, yeah.
It can happen to anyone regardless of age, race, or socioeconomic status. And you reiterate, you are not alone. You deserve to feel safe and respected. So Ruby, tell me about this post. I mean, it's obvious based on your expertise why you posted this, but I don't think we can say enough. You are not alone. And our birthright
yes.
of coming here to live the human experience, our birthright is to feel safe.
Yes.
on a mental, emotional, psychological, physical, all of the plane. That is our birthright.
Yeah. And with all the people I've worked with, so I'm including the men, the young men as well, particularly, that safety that we hold when they come with us allows them to set themselves free just in that session. And that's a really good feeling that they actually share with me, because most of them, will say, Grippy, I haven't told anybody this, or I've never thought about that for 20 years, 10 years, 3 years, whatever it is. That element of safety can only be created when you feel that you're being listened to. And I think that's the biggest skill in my lifetime in the work that I do. And it's so hard, because it's so much easier to have worked with 10, 20, 30, or however many hundred people you may have worked with and gone, okay, they've said those two sentences, so now they're going to go down this road, or this road. And when you listen to them, even though they're taking similar paths, they're often doing a completely different turn. And sometimes they don't want you to do anything but listen. Just be there. People don't get to be listened to. When I've asked young children, so when I say young children, anyone from 8, 10 to their teens, when I've said, how do you feel about your mum and dad's divorce? They burst into tears, can't stop crying. When you let them, recover themselves and they wipe their tears and you say, so what happened? What was that about? And they literally say, nobody's ever asked me what I feel. And if we can do that by those simple questions, how wonderful would it be for the people that actually are doing everything and don't believe they can to start recognizing that? And I saw that mainly in probation, that I was working with the guys that had committed the crime, who were never going to work, had no intention of working. Their partners were working. They were doing the food. They were taking care of the children, school and home and all the pickup, drop off, and they were working. And when you would talk to the women, they would say, but I can't manage without him. I just wouldn't be able to do it. I can't manage a house without you. And I was sitting there just thinking, but you're doing everything.
I would say typically my response to that would be, is that true?
Oh no, but when you say, is that true?
Right?
You say, yeah, no, I can't do it, because he said it so many
Yeah.
times
Yeah.
that they're now telling me he's the only one who'll have me. And I'm sitting there going, oh, sweetheart, no, that's not true. But you believe it because he's put it into your mind. That's where that good old narcissism comes in, that they've worked on them in such a way that it's now embedded in a way that you can't take it out for anything. Again, that safety, if they could be with people who are encouraging them rather than saying things like, yeah, but he's a really nice guy most of the time, which is what women end up having to listen to, because the abuser always knows how to build their social capital. So yeah, I do believe that the safety element is critical in that growth. And what happens, or in my experience, once they started getting on that track and they start, it's like going on a machine and you're walking, then you start jogging and then you start running. They normally start taking off and they'll come back and say, Ruby, I did this. And I'm going, oh, okay. And in my head, I'm thinking, this person said they couldn't do anything because they weren't worthy. They were useless and worthless and all the other things that he's given them. And now, just with a little bit of talk and a little bit of discussion and a little bit of exploration, because also you'll be familiar with the fact that most women don't want to leave. My own experience of all the work that I've done, I would say as high as 80 to 90% of women don't want to leave because they still have glimpses of what this person was like, either earlier on or the nice times that they've had. And they also firmly believe that they're responsible for their health, well-being, all the things that are happening to this partner are the responsibility of the woman, of the victim. But yes, they do need some encouragement, but also just that safe space.
With my clients, when they'll say, but so and so said this or so and so did that, I hear them. I'll
Yeah.
say, great, thank you for sharing that. And this hour is not about them, it's about your energy. So
Yeah.
I will say, in the court, I'll use myself, in the court of Amy, is that true? 1,000,000%. Can we prove that? Is that true? And that starts to open the door just like a little tiny bit to say, well, maybe it's not totally true that
Yeah.
I'm not worthy. Maybe it's not true. And then
Yeah.
by the end of the hour, it's like, are you worthy? And they're like, yes. I'm like, can you
Safe.
say it again louder? To your point, like it's just starting to build what is true. So that's why I will not dismiss when they bring other energies in. But again, as a certified coach, like it's not about any third party. It's about who's in front of us. And so I can't coach to that third party. I can coach to the person in front of me. And that's what we stay focused on that. And what I learn and what I see is that as you build that energy to what is so true without a shadow of a doubt, anything that doesn't serve or align with that frequency of that energy that we've built. And by the way, it's always been there, but again, because of the abuse, it's been knocked down. When we get to that where it's built up again and your light is shining, anything that doesn't resonate with that will fall away in one way or another.
It does. When you ask women in that situation, or men, but as we're focusing on women, when you ask them, but what are your thoughts? They kind of get kicked back, like, what do you mean? What are my thoughts? Because I haven't thought about them. And that's one of the premises of the program, Define Yourself. What do you think? Without all the noise around you, the friends, the relatives, the cousins, the, parents or his side of the family, what do you think? What do you feel? Why do you think that? Why do you feel that? Because if you start looking at your whys and your reasons, the world changes. You then start recognizing this was an abuse. This was something that was done to me. And that's the other side, which is why I call it define yourself. Once you start recognizing that, you begin defining who you are. And when you define you without everybody else's opinion, you see a very different picture in the mirror. And those permissions you learn to start giving yourself, from my perspective, the cornerstones of how you're going to release yourself from the negativity. Even if you choose to stay, it won't be with that contract. The contract will change. So the women that I've worked with, they come in slouched, and by the time they start doing this work, their shoulders have gone back. And I've had a situation where one woman's partner spoke to her mother to try and find me because I was a problem, because she was now not allowing him to be abusive and as negative and interfering in her life and turning up when he wanted to, because they had separated, she had the children. So he was now chasing me because all I had done was given her information, and she had empowered herself and become the person she wanted to be. She was only beginning. I goodness knows what she's going to be like at the end. Because this was a very powerful man. He was a very wealthy man. So he had a lot of resources.
The tide is changing, tide is shifting. I'm grateful for the humans like you and I that have realized our calling and are guiding others to remember who they are. And to your point, when someone asks, like, oh, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I listen. Like, what? I'm like, yeah, I listen. I'll speak for myself. I guide based on their energy, what they're sharing. What is their body language? To your point, like when they shift, I was like, ooh, what was that? What did you just release? Like, let's talk through that. So it's listening, it's guiding, and it's ultimately for me, like my business, unlock the magic, ignite your flame. The flame has always been there. It just may be a little bit dim. We light it up.
I was going to say that's what define yourself does. It's,
Oh, yeah.
when you're lighting that match and
Yes.
you see the flicker, and then it takes off, and then it just consumes you. So that's what I'm trying to do in define yourself. Absolutely.
Hey, Ruby. So, wow, as we start to wind down, what would you say to those who understand what we're talking about, but also those who don't get what we're talking about? Maybe those that are like, wait, what are you talking about? It's multi-layered. It's easy. It's they hurt me. I'm mad. Like, what would you say to both?
I think for the people that can't see the facets, I would tell them to look back into their childhood. So we're assuming they had a healthy childhood. So if they've had a regular life prior to the abuse, look back at what life was like. What did it feel like? What did you do? So you get dressed up and you go out with your friends and you have a good time. What did that feel like? What does it feel like now? Because you're probably not allowed to do any of those things. Look at your history and how it was, compare it to how it is now. And just in looking at that, you'll see three or four things anyway. You'll probably see a lot more than three or four. Then you can start looking at how those layers come in. So whether it's being allowed to go out, being allowed to dress up, being allowed to be with friends of your choice, are they even in the picture? So when you look at the before and after, you'll see many, many different things now that weren't happening back then. You can see your happiness back then much more clearly than you can see it now. Now you're being happy because you're being told to be happy. He's framed it in a way that you can be happy around these friends. When your mother comes, we have these problems. So were you freer before this abuse to where you are now? when you looked in the mirror, what did you used to see to what you see now? Because I suspect there's a lot more restrictions in place and there's a lot less letting go of your heart and actually living. You're going through the motions. And this is where the skills of the programs that I run, they help you to see yourself and identify where you want to go, where you've been and what you're doing. And it really helps unlock the knots, is what I'm going to describe it as. You know, that, oh, I can't do this, but I used to. So what's that about? And as you begin that first journey and you unknot the first knot and you see what it feels like, it'll help you release. But yeah, look at how it was to where it is now.
Ruby, where can we find you?
On my website is probably the easiest and quickest place. So that's www.insure.com. I am on LinkedIn and I'm also on Instagram and TikTok, and my handle is Ruby Dot Warrior Woman, which is the book that I'm actually going to release hopefully very soon. The beautiful artist that did the front cover, the title of her piece was Warrior Woman. So I thought that sounds good because that's who we all are all the time. We don't have to brag about it or make noise about it, but we do so much and we don't value ourselves. We need to learn to value ourselves.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
Is to let all the people know that are being harmed, being hurt, feeling they're crazy, they're not. And when I meet them, I can see them. They're trying to get out, they're trying to break free. And that's part of the things that somebody like I actually can help in. And to let them know that unless there's a diagnosed medical health condition, there is nothing that you cannot achieve. So take that first step.
Thanks, Ruby.
Thank you so much, Amy.